Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
For most of us here, we've had some experience being in the church. There may be some of you here who haven't really spent time in the church or been around the church a whole lot, and this may be your very first experience of a church, and you may be having a grand old time, but there are many of you here who have had experience in a church or been around church people, and it's kind of left a sour taste in your mouth, hasn't it? Not every church, not every situation you've been in, not every church that you've been part of, not every relative that has gone to church has left a sour taste in your mouth, but I would imagine that many of you here have had an experience like that, whether it be in a church, part of a church, growing up at a church, relatives at a church. You've had some hurts come from church people. And legitimately, sometimes the church does what it's supposed to, and it talks about hard things, and you kind of ran away from church, and you've had to wrestle through that. But I'm talking about times when church and church people have just done damage. Whether it's a pastor who was really, really full of pride and insecurity, and instead of empowering his people, just kind of beat them down to make himself feel better. Or maybe you've had situations or you've seen people who have abused the trust that was given to them. Maybe it's been a money thing and you felt like you were just being used for your money, or there were leaders who were just they talked a good talk and they told everybody about the rules, but they didn't follow the rules. Or you saw people who carried the name Christian, but it was in name only. Or you've been met with hate and judgment. You've had your kids leave the church because of it. You've seen church splits. You've seen drama. You've seen some stuff go on in church and church people and church families that have left you hurt. Would it be fair to say that many of you are aware of situations like that taking place? Yes? Okay. So if that is so common, and I agree, it's common because the church is sometimes just full of people, and people are broken, and we're all working on this, right? We're all working on this, and there sometimes it's just a little messy there, and some of that hurt just comes from that stuff, and sometimes the truth is hard to swallow, but some of this stuff goes beyond that. And because we've seen it so often in so many places, we've got to kind of ask, like, what is the church even supposed to look like? What are the attributes of a church? What are the attributes of a Christian community? What are the attributes of a Christian family? What is that supposed to even look like? Well, I've got a list here, and I'm not just going to give you the list. I'm going to read to you the scriptures so that you know what I'm saying, that I'm not just making this stuff up. And we're going to run through some scriptures here and talk about what is the church supposed to look like. In Acts chapter 4, it says that all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, all that were there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Acts chapter 6 says, in those days when the number of the disciples were increasing, the Hellenistic or the Greek-type Jews among them complained against the Hebraic or the Israelite Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. In a real Christian community, needs are acknowledged and then met. Matthew chapter 18 says, if your brother or sister sins, go point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along with you so that every matter may be established by the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. The Christian community knows how to have healthy conflict. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves. The Christian community is one of humility. 1 Corinthians 10 says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. In the Christian, a real Christian community, we are supposed to be seeking the best, not just what's allowed. Romans chapter 14 says, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. In the Christian community, avoiding things that lead others astray is the way we go. Ephesians and Colossians both say, however, each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children must obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Fathers, be patient. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. In a Christian community, in a Christian family, there is love, honor, respect, and patience for all members. In Titus chapter 2, it says, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live. Do not be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the Word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. In the Christian community, young people should be serving and the old people should be training. Matthew chapter 6, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Matthew 5, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift." In the Christian community, sin gets dealt with, and forgiveness is freely given. Hebrews chapter 10. "We are not to be giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." In a Christian community, we get together. Now, I know there are more attributes of a Christian community, but that should give you a pretty good picture. Do we all agree that that is a pretty good, pretty solid picture of what God has intended for Christian families and Christian churches and Christian communities to look like? That's not my ideas. I've read you the scripture. That is what God has said a Christian community is supposed to look like. And you're tracking with me? So why does it so rarely ever look like that? What is this gap between what God intends the church, what God intends your family to look like, and what it actually looks like? How do we get from here to there? We've tried it. Oh yeah, we've tried it. We've put in rules, we've put in standards, we've had classes, we've educated, we've held to rules, we've pushed things, we've pushed people out, we've held people in, we've used guilt tactics, we've used big rallies, we've used speeches, we've used all kinds of things. We have rule books, we have classes for your kids, we have all this stuff going on, and still somehow there is this gap between what God says it's supposed to look like and what it actually is. So what's missing? Because we've tried all these different tactics, and what ends up happening is we end up hurt. We end up being very legalistic and very, very harsh with each other, and we end up getting these different statuses going on where I'm more Christian than you are, or there's some weird mess like that, and it ends up this power struggle, and it ends up being really messy, and we end up pushing people away or whatever. So we've tried all kinds of things, and we still have this gap. So what is it that's missing? How do we get from here to there? Now, I absolutely believe that there is value in knowing the scriptures and in following the scriptures, being aware of them and seeking after those things, but there is one key piece that needs to be addressed before you can even effectively pursue the scriptures and apply that to your life and see that transforming work take place. In Acts chapter 4, it says this. It says that after they prayed, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And then it goes on to say, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their good, but they shared everything they had. The thing that happened first, before the community changed, before there was that humility and that sacrifice, the thing that happened before that was they prayed and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. John chapter 15 says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. John 16 says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate or the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. This is what I want you to understand here today. In your home, in our church, in our relationships, we will not be a Christian community as God intended until we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Period. We will not be a Christian community until we are filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't bear fruit apart from the vine. Jesus died and was raised, and he didn't just stay on the earth raised. He left. He went to heaven to send the Holy Spirit so that we could have the power of that resurrection applied to us. It was only after the apostles prayed and were filled with the Spirit that the community was transformed, was changed, and began behaving in this way that the scriptures talk about the church existing. With humility, with respect, with forgiveness, with healthy conflict, with sins being dealt with, sins being removed, and there being victory, and people meeting each other's needs, and not focusing on their own kingdoms and their own worlds. And when kids are being raised up so that they're not leaving the church, but they're growing in their faith and they're growing in Christ and they're becoming these just powerful people of change in the world. And where this relationship between parents and kids is being strengthened, and the kids are showing respect for the adults and their parents and their grandparents and their uncles and the other adults in their lives, and the parents are being patient with their kids, and they're training their kids. Yeah, we've got to want those things, and there's a certain amount of effort involved, but it is not going to take place. It is not going to happen until we are filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't get the fruit unless you are part of the vine. You don't get the results of the Holy Spirit without being filled by the Holy Spirit. And a Christian community is the result, is the fruit of the power of Christ applied to you by the presence of the Holy Spirit. So very simply, we, as individuals and as a church, need to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit for our church and for our families. We need the Holy Spirit in our church We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit in our families. And we need to pray and seek the presence of the Holy Spirit and His filling. It is not simply a matter of agreeing with our moralistic philosophy. It is not simply a matter of intellectual assent to say, yes, I believe this. God has to actually be present in your life, filling your heart. And to fill your heart, that means He's going to push a bunch of other stuff out of the way. But if you want those attributes of a Christian community in your church and in your family and in your own life, there is only one solution to that. And that's being filled with the Holy Spirit. The worship team's going to come up. They're going to do a few more songs here. And this is a special moment for all of you to pray and to seek the presence of the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to take over. Ask Him to do that incredible, miraculous, transformational work in you. And then He'll produce the fruit. But we will not. We will not be a Christian community until that happens.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.